Frank Frangie here. Kuhn Flowers has moved their former Ponte Vedra location to Sawgrass Village. And when I need to send a floral arrangement for any reason, I know I can really count on Kuhn. Call 398-8601, kuhnflowers.com.
Play fake. Kaiser looks, fires in the middle of the field. Picked off by Telvin Smith at the 45. Into Cleveland territory inside the 40-yard line. Telvin still on his feet. Reverses his field.
Run,
dives
Telvin
forward now. Tackled from behind inside the 35-yard line. Two tight ends set. Under
Too
center
tight.
Bortles. Fournette the running back. Play fake.
Play fake.
Blake still has it. Fires to the right side of the end zone. That is caught into the end zone for the touchdown.
6 points.
Mercedes Lewis scores another one. Kaiser
in
the shotgun. Drops the throw, throws it out to the left side, and I think that is picked off by A.J. Boye.
Booyah.
A.J. Boye jumped around and picked it off at the 48-yard line of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Great work by A.J. Boye.
Booyah.
Four-man rush, that was a five-man rush, and they're going to get there. The ball is out. The ball is picked up by Dante Fowler Jr.
We will review the previous play.
And usually they don't blow the whistle. They let it play out.
Yeah, that ball's out.
Yeah, ball's that's out. They usually let it play out, and it would have been a touchdown.
After reviewing the play, the quarterback was fumbling the ball on the way down. It was clearly recovered by Jacksonville.
Kaiser dropped the throw. He is going to be hit again. That ball's out again. Ngakoue hit him that time. Dante Fowler tries to fall on it. The ball is in the end zone. Jacksonville has fallen on it for a touchdown.
6 points.
They're not going to take that one away. Delvin Smith in the end zone for the score, and that'll finish it off.
1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and John Osher.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome in. Happy Wednesday. Jaguars Today kicking off, getting you ready for the Jags and the Saints as they come rolling into Jacksonville. You thought I'd say something else, didn't
marching
you, John? You thought, but everybody says that, so I'd be different.
I was surprised the intro didn't have a Koyak's touchdown there. Koyak's back.
He is back. You know, it could have been
nice
a whole Koyak montage right there.
Doesn't he have to change his code?
No, he doesn't. Well, I hope for him.
He just comes right in.
I would assume that he might get a new code. I would think the code would be discontinued when he left
you would
the building.
Think, yes.
You'd think.
I know mine is at least once a week.
Hey, let me ask you, your your code is discontinued once a week. do you try to get in the back gate here?
Here?
Yeah.
No,
it's 1, 2, 3, 4. Give it a shot.
I have to beg Donna every time to let me in, and some weeks she does, some weeks she doesn't.
For some reason, yeah, you're here. What is ozone reaction like this week? Because I think Tony and I would tell you that despite the fact that they're 2-3 and they just lost a game, Jaguar fans are more optimistic in the midst of a losing record than they've been in a long time.
Well, and I think that jibes with what the players sort of felt after the game the other day. I said this a couple of times. What a different feeling it is at 2-3 this year than it was at 3-2 last year. You know, they come out of Kansas City last year, 3-2, and it felt shaky. You didn't know where it was going.
The wheels were about to come off, but yeah.
And they're a game worse this year, and the feeling in the locker room for them when the fan base, I was talking to somebody yesterday, in the beginning of the conversation, this person said, "Hey, congratulations on the Jaguars." And I was like, well, they're 2-3, and they just lost, and they're in third place. You know, but that's the feeling. I mean, and that's indicative of what you just said. And the feeling that I get from answering questions, it is just that. Yeah, they got to get busy. You can't lose two of your next three because then your margin for error is gone. But there's a feeling that because they can move the ball offensively, there's a lot more optimism around this team than there's been in a while.
Here's a paragraph from NFL.com story, which in part – deals with if Minshew keeps Minshewing, what will they do with St. Nick when he's healthy enough to return with Nick Foles? And so that's just kind of getting on the national radar. That's a question, Tony, that's been asked basically since week one around these parts. But let me read you this paragraph. Quote, "The motherboard is lit up with sonar pings detailing the heroics of Gardner Minshew, the most improbable of NFL risers, turning the Jaguars into must-watch television one Sunday after the next. TIAA Bank Field will be packed out with soccer moms sporting freshly purchased Minshew garb, unknowing toddlers squeezed into teal headbands, secretaries arm in arm wearing bushy stashes and believing their rookie wonder boy can spin spells anew." That's a little you know,
forward
with the language. Yeah,
a little
tad overwritten. But the idea that here's a writer at NFL.com saying, hey, the Jaguars are becoming must-watch television because of the presence of this guy. That's kind of what we're talking about here. We've had guys calling up on the postgame show, called up Monday and said, hey, you know, I know we lost, but I enjoyed the hell out of that broadcast. And if we're going to lose like that, at least it gives us hope.
I don't think he can go back. I think he's the guy.
No matter what.
Well, I mean, obviously, if the next 4 weeks are the wheels off.
What if he plays well and they lose all four?
I think you stick with him. And I don't know what they'll do. That's not insider info because
I hear you.
They're still weeks away from having to make that call, and they'll make that as a week-to-week call just like they would, I think, in a position in the sense that Doug will say, here's what gives us the best chance to win. But I don't know how you go back, and I don't think they will go back. I think Mitch is going to be the guy, and you figure out what happens with Foles.
I don't know what could happen with Foles other than have him as an expensive backup.
Right.
And he's not going anywhere.
No, he's not going anywhere. And I think, too, that it would be really, like, shocking at this point if the floor fell out from underneath this Minshew. Like, there have been times where it's like you look at matchups and say, okay, this is where it's going to catch up to him. And, look, they played the number one pass defensive football on the road last week, and he's playing on 1.5 legs. And he did what he did. And I get it, the three fumbles, he's got to figure out a way to stop, cut that kind of stuff out. But he threw for almost, he accounted for 400 yards of offense. I mean, unbelievable stuff.
And usually when the wheels fall off of young quarterbacks, they often fall off of guys who are over-depending on their mobility. And a defense throws something at them where they have to stay in the pocket and throw. Because young guys often compensate. Brunell did it for a year, you know. Often compensate with not seeing it by using their legs. Well, this kid sees it enough to be effective from the pocket. He runs to throw, meaning when he's scrambling, he's looking downfield. That's a year three, year four thing. I have seen nothing to make me think that it's going to be wheels off. There will be games where there's a couple interceptions because that's what quarterbacks do. But the stuff that's stopped – fumbles is not a young quarterback issue. That's not him being overwhelmed or not seeing it. It's needing to hold the ball better. He's got to get through that. But you guys have seen quarterbacks as much as I have. There's nothing to indicate that what he's done so far is not sustainable, maybe not on best quarterback in the league level, but, you know, 12, top 15.
No, I agree with you. There's no reason to think that he's going to fall apart. But I'm also of the mind that, you know, for the next 5 weeks, if he plays just kind of mediocre football, that I don't think he has a death grip on the job. You know, if they're 1-4 in the next five and Nick Foles comes back and he's just playing kind of middle of the pack football, then I think there's a chance that they do go back. Look, I don't really want to have the deep debate on it.
Sure.
Right. Honestly, now, at this point, I'd be surprised if he's playing middle of the pack football. I think that's where we're all at with Garner. If it happens, it happens, but that's not my expectation.
But my point is, when you have a real established starter, that guy can go through a 5 week stretch where he plays middle of the pack football and he's not in danger of losing his job. That's why I'm saying he's not, to me, cemented in that job yet. He's trending towards it, but he's not there yet.
But if he plays four more games and has two that are of the vibe that he's had so far and has two that aren't, if you think this guy has a chance to be it and he's playing 80% of the level he has so far, I don't see any way in the world that you pull him out. It just says it would go against all football stuff that makes any sense. I think he's the guy.
Most football stuff that makes any sense. I think it's still an open-ended question to some degree because we're playing hypotheticals if he plays this way, if he doesn't play this way. Let's see it play out over the next month, beginning this week with the New Orleans Saints. Today's question of the day is presented by Bud Light, as always, and we invite you to weigh in on social media or on the phone lines, the text line, however you want to do it. We've got it up as a poll on Twitter, at MD_1010XL, and we just ask you which position group has you most worried going forward for the rest of the 2019 season. Is it the offensive line or one of the three defensive groups, the defensive line, linebackers, or secondary? And you can weigh in there. And it's trending in a certain direction already, but cast your vote and see where you fall in line with the rest of the Jaguar faithful out there. If you want to talk Jaguar football today, hit us up on Twitter, at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at John Osier on the Jaguars Today Facebook page or on the phone lines or the text line, which is built by Lifetime Enclosures, same number at 641 1010. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, Johnny O, and ET here with you. Jaguars today just kicking off on a Wednesday on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
We will let you know when official word comes down as to whether or not Jalen Ramsey will be a full, limited, or non-participant in practice. Shall we do a poll? I'm going to go non. Anybody want to go full or limited?
I'll go limited.
You go limited?
I'll go limited.
All right, John's got limited staked out, Tony.
I'll go non because I'm not taking full.
Oh, copycat over here. Non. How dare you follow me? I don't know. I haven't talked to Jalen's back specialist. I'm just going to take a wild stab in the dark. Those back injuries can linger, as we know. So wish him the best. We'll give you the early injury report when it is available. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, John Osher here with you talking Jaguars for the next hour and 40 minutes. Let's go to the phones for the first time this morning at 641-1010. Megan in Springfield, you're first up. Hello, how are you?
Hi, good. I just wanted to ask a question about the tight end situation. If you guys could update, like, who this new guy is and what's going on with Josh Oliver and, you know, just a little bit of discussion about that would be really helpful.
All right. This new guy
is the old guy.
It's the old guy. It's Ben Koyak. They brought him back. He was did he go on IR and then they reached an injury settlement with him?
I should know that. And
I think that's the way it went down with him.
He was a 2014 draft pick, I want to say, or 15, somewhere in there.
He was 15.
I mean, he's a great kid, been around forever, played a lot. He's the logical guy to bring back in this situation. I've always said on an NFL team, there's 53 guys active. 10 guys practice squad, and there's usually about five or six that you like and know you'll bring back if there's an injury, if they're out there. Ben's one of the 70 in that case. You trust him, he's fine. You know, he's not as good as the other guys, or he'd have been on the team in the first place.
I'm looking here. He'd gone that route back in 2018. They waived injured and placed him on injured reserve.
He may have just been waived.
Then he was brought back. May have been. Yeah. Trying to think, because I think if you waive injure a guy and you reach a settlement, whatever, you've got a six-week period between when you let them go and when you can bring them back to the same team.
That sounds right, because they don't want you to abuse the
– Right. They don't want you to just go, oh, we reached a, quote, injury settlement with him. 2 weeks later, you bring him back.
Right.
You know, and you're just kind of skirting the roster limitation rules.
Yeah, so that may not have been what this was. But he's, you know, again, in this situation, you like a guy who knows what you're about, who knows your offense, who can come in and not have much of a learning curve. So this is that.
Playoff hero, Ben Koyak, I think he should be referred to as.
I missed that. You're right.
He is. He was.
There's no question.
Playoff hero against Buffalo Bills, scored that winning touchdown.
One of the biggest plays in Jaguars history, right?
I mean, it was basically the game-winning play in a playoff game.
And
that's
a
big
get.
Play. Yeah. No, there's no question
Their
about
first
it.
Home playoff game in two decades.
Right, all kidding aside, I mean, it was a big play. Sure. I mean, it's not like he's known for much beyond that or really anything, but so what? That's more than I'm known for.
But to Megan's question, Josh Oliver practiced the last 2 weeks with a hamstring. It's not surprising to me, as long as it's been out, as long as he's been out, that it would take a couple of weeks to get back to strength and feel confident with it. It's a big story this week, though, because you would think the timing's right for him to get back on the field, and they sure need it because O'Shaughnessy's going to be missed.
Yeah, absolutely be missed. I mean, and it might work out very well timing-wise. You know, if Josh Oliver is ready, that's asking a lot from a guy now.
Certainly.
Who, you know, missed a chunk of training camp in the preseason, missed all that practice time in the season.
He's had, three or four full-speed NFL practices in his life.
Right. So, you know, it's asking a lot. But I think he's capable. I mean, from the glimpse we got of him, he's an intriguing player. I mean, he's the most athletic of the Jaguars' tight ends that they had on the roster. Very evident,
right.
Just watching him in practice.
At this point, if you could put him in for two packages – two series, and he got a couple of first downs, you'd be ecstatic and see how that develops going forward. Not in the long term, but
right. In the short term, maybe Jeff Swain this week is your lead guy in terms of the pass-catching department.
You would hope.
I mean, he's thrown a few to Swain this year, but everything seems to be, you know, catch it get tackled on the spot. Yeah. There's not a whole lot of run after the catch ability there. O'Shaughnessy had a little bit of that. But he's done. Koyak's back. He'll slot in, I would imagine, near the bottom of the depth chart. Because, you know, if you thought more highly of him than some of the other guys, he would have already been on the roster.
Yep.
So, Megan, thank you. Let's go to Scott in Ponte Vedra next up here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Scott.
Hey, what up, guys?
What's up?
Just a quick question with all the Minshew talk. Any chance that we could trade Foles? I know he's got a big contract, but if we ate some of it, maybe got a mid-round pick or maybe even picked up a tight end for maybe a playoff team that needs a backup or a playoff team that needs a veteran presence?
Boy,
you might be a playoff team who needs a backup.
Right. I mean, you could be yourself. I'm trying to let me find his cap number here.
It's 40-something this year.
Why it's just not jumping right out like on spot track.
It was like 40-something this year. It was like 33. I think next year is the dead number. And
yeah, the dead number next year is massive.
Yeah.
Right?
So you'd be eating 11?
The only way could you find somebody to take some of it in the trade somehow? I just don't see it happening.
Yeah, his cap charge this year is $12 million, like you said, Tony. If you trade him, the dead cap hit that accelerates into this year's salary cap is $45 million. So that's $33 million in cap space you'd have to create just to move Nick Foles. He's not going anywhere. Not under that circumstance. Yeah. You don't have $33 million, and you're not going to be able to create $33 million. And for the benefit you'd get from it, I mean, like you said, you may need him, right? I mean, we don't know.
Right.
Gardner Minshew's not the biggest guy in the world. One bad hit to Gardner Minshew.
And right now, he's only played four games. You know, you assume that he's going to keep being
right.
But you wouldn't want to – you can't absolutely assume that a four-game span – I think he's going to be good.
I mean, so do I, but –
But you would want to hedge your bet a little
beyond
bit.
That even, just the you know, a couple of those low hits. One bad hit is all it takes, as we saw with Nick Foles. Nick Foles was – threw a touchdown pass to DJ Chark and got slammed down on his collarbone or on his shoulder.
How unbelievable would it be if Minshew got him into the playoff hunt, for some reason couldn't play.
And here comes Foles with the Super Bowl.
Well,
he wins the Super Bowl.
The other thing about it is Nick Foles has never been a squeaky wheel guy. Like, even with all the situations he's been in, he's never been a guy.
No problem on that.
That's been a public problem with that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I don't see it happening this year. Maybe if they get into the offseason and they've decided and they have something else they feel like they can do with that backup quarterback spot, maybe, because you are just talking about having to eat $11 million basically at that point.
Yeah, that's a lot.
It's still a lot for a team that's got so much that they got to figure out.
It's not just $11 that you're going to have, Tony. It's the it's total of $33 million, right? At least with you have $22 million that's going to be allocated to Nick Foles next year,
yep,
in 2020. At least you have the services of Nick Foles for that money. Would you want to have $33 million now? It's not cash out of hand, but I don't think that's the concern. The concern is the cap space. So would you want $33 million of your cap space eaten up and have nothing to show for, or I guess whatever you got back for Nick Foles in that scenario? But there wasn't the sense that there was a big market for Nick Foles this offseason, right? So I don't know why there would be this huge market, especially next year. It's supposed to be a great quarterback crop, you know, of rookies, and teams want to go their own way. Are they going to want to pay Nick Foles, you know, $22 million if he loses his job to a 6th-round rookie quarterback?
I don't think so, and I wouldn't even consider it until after the season, even without all the cap stuff.
What if Joshua Dobbs comes in the postseason, leads them to the Super Bowl? What do we do then? I'm just trying to make it fun for everybody here. Gardner plays great, but gets hurt just in time for Nick Foles to come in, keep the season afloat, makes the playoffs, and in a heroic last-second touchdown drive, gets injured. In comes Joshua Dobbs, who has the greatest 3- or 4-game run in his life.
There's always these stories about, what was the greatest quarterback room of all time? I think Montana, Young, and I think one year Gerback was like
he
went on to
there.
Start. I mean, but
pretty good room up there in Green Bay with Favre, Hasselbeck, Kurt Warner, and Mark Brunell.
Yeah.
for a blink of an eye.
So it would rival that.
It would, right? And then, but then in the Super Bowl, Dobbs gets hurt, They run Wildcat with Leonard Fournette, and they run their way to a Super Bowl championship right up until Leonard gets hurt in the fourth quarter.
Or they bring in Logan Cook.
At which point Logan Cook runs this thing like a symphony orchestra. I don't know. Should we have that? Should we make a poll out of that?
I think we just had
what happens then.
Right.
I don't know. As long as it ends with the Jaguars win the Super Bowl, I'll be too drunk for a month to care at that point in time. At least most of Duval, I think, would be partying pretty hard in that scenario. I just think it's very unlikely with the dead cap hit that you're going to take that Nick Foles.
Yes.
I think he's overwhelmingly likely to be here through 2020.
Yeah, I don't think it's impossible, but my expectation would be that Nick Foles is going to be on the roster this year and next year.
And that would be just the weirdest dynamic, but it could...
Nick Foles, the backup?
Well,
the $80 million backup?
Yeah, I mean, it's almost surreal now when he walks through the locker room, because it is true, it's been true for 50 years, when you're hurt... You're an afterthought. It's almost like you're a ghost. And players feel it. They talk about it all the time. And it's just weird with all the Minshew mania when you see Nick, and it's your heart goes out to him a little bit because you come here for this. You know, now the pain is mitigated by $88 million, but it's just a bizarre situation.
I mean, the guy wants to play.
Yeah.
He wants his last shot at maybe being the guy. You know, and I mean, he's shown on his best day he can be as good as anybody.
Yeah.
He's Super Bowl MVP and outdueled Tom Brady in doing it. So
played 11 plays here and had one of the best passes we've seen here in years.
It was fantastic. It really was. Yeah. I'm not kidding. You know, the irony is right now in today's NFL, the feeling is the greatest commodity you can have is a really good quarterback on the rookie deal because it allows you to spend your cap space elsewhere. Only problem is, at least for the next year and a half, they've allocated a massive chunk of that cap space to the guy who's going to be at worst, the backup. Maybe he'll be the starter. But, you know, you can't fully exploit the first two years of Gardner Minshew's, you know, affordability. Let's put it that way.
And that's what I was to be too bad. But at this point, with the quarterback-starved franchise that it's been, you'll take it no matter how you get it.
So, Scott, bottom line, highly unlikely, in our opinion, that Nick Foles gets moved anywhere by the Jacksonville Jaguars for a variety of reasons. All right, we'll come back. More of your calls if you want to get in at 641-1010. We'll check in on the text line built by Lifetime Enclosures as well. Poll question out there presented by Bud Light. Which position group worries you the most about the Jaguars going forward? Hit us up on Twitter and you'll find it there as well. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and Johnny O here with you, Jaguars Today, on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
All right, Saints coming into town this weekend, and they bring with them one Alvin Kamara, who is at least in the neighborhood, if not as dangerous as Christian McCaffrey. I think they're both about the same guy. Quite honestly, McCaffrey putting up a little bit bigger numbers this year, but they're both pretty spectacular. They can both kill you with their quickness. They got enough power. McCaffrey might be a little bit more powerful than Kamara. They're both great in the open field, in space, great receivers out of the backfield, all that. So you've got a carbon copy as close to as you're going to find in the National Football League, John. Coming in this week, the linebacking core struggled, to put it nicely, against McCaffrey. And we went over it with Loggeman yesterday. He thought the plan was fine. A lot of guys got out of position on a lot of those plays, and wasn't just the obvious ones. Is he started with the 84-yard run by McCaffrey. So the first guy who lost his gap assignment was Calais Campbell. And then it was Josh Allen. And then it was Miles Jack.
Yep.
And then it was the safeties who were the last line of defense. So it was like a complete breakdown.
Well, I'm sure Jeff probably went over this in better detail than I can, but with a gap control defense, which is what everybody knows they run, you get into trouble when guys don't stay in their lanes and don't do their assignments and try to go make a tackle that is really their teammate's responsibility. If you're in gap two and jump over to gap three, and a teammate's supposed to be taking gap three, the guy cuts back into gap two and they go all the way. When you've got a bunch of guys doing that, which is sort of doing their own thing, then you've got potential for what happened the other day. And that's what it was. It wasn't physical matchups. It was not doing your job and your assignment well enough That's what happens. Guess what? They have a chance to prove that all they're saying, which is, hey, we just have to be more disciplined in the gaps. We have to be better. This is not a physical thing. You have a chance to prove it on Sunday.
Well, that's all they have to do. I doubt whether they're capable of doing it because this is not something new. This has been going on for really for several years now.
It hasn't gone on to that degree, though.
That game may have been like the peak of that kind of thing, but we have had guys getting out of position and trying to make the play because they feel like I don't even think they're doing it from a bad point. I don't think it's like, hey, I'm trying to glorify myself. I think they're saying, hey, I want to make this play. I want to help our team win. But we've heard about this in the last couple of years, and it's been like, well, they're frustrated. They know the offense isn't making enough plays, so now they're trying to make that big play, that splash play. I mean, I've heard that narrative.
I'm not even sure it's a splash play as much as just you see it. Your instinct is to go after the opportunity to make the play. You jump out and they cut back. But you're right. I mean, it's a money where the mouth is. Until you do it, then it's a problem.
I just think I've seen too much of it in the last several years. And maybe that was the peak example of it this past week. And maybe because that was the peak example, it'll be a little bit better this time around. But, I mean, I don't know what you can do. You tell somebody over and over and over again, and you show them, and you practice it, and you rep it, and this is your assignment. And you feel like, you know, eventually I guess you can – bench guys, but if you know the guy behind him is significantly less talented.
It's the old thing, bench a guy for a penalty while you're taking your best guy off the field.
Right, and so, you know, there has to be a tipping point. I don't know when that point comes, when you would bench a guy you clearly feel is a better player for more than, you know, a series or two.
Right, which is what they did at the end of the game. They pulled Quincy out.
With Quincy Williams. That's different because Miles Jack now is their guy who's captain, big contract, all this, you know, middle linebacker. And remember how much that meant to him when the questions came up, hey, how are they going to align their linebacking group? He's like, hey, I can't speak for the coaches, but I'm the middle linebacker.
Right.
This is what I am, and this is what I've worked to be. And when the one guy you think you should be able to count on in this regard is as guilty of it as anybody else, it's no surprise why right now linebacker is running away with the pole on the – position group the fans are most concerned with.
Yeah, the safeties were as culpable the other day because when a linebacker gets out of gap, it's not supposed to be an 84-yarder. It's supposed to be the safeties stop. That's why they're called safeties. You're safeguarding against that sort of thing, their last line of defense. There's not much more to break down. They're going to keep playing this style. They're not going to change their defensive philosophy. These guys have to play better within it. We'll see if they can.
Yeah, I mean, Jeff, you know, explained why he felt like the defense that they're calling is effective and that they did put an extra guy in the box, you know, and it's not like, you know, because people were saying, why aren't they paying more attention to McCaffrey? He's like, hey, it was designed to double him a lot of times and to blitz specifically to keep him in the backfield and make him protect. And the game plan was really McCaffrey-centric. And then when it's not executed, and granted, look, it stinks to hear multiple players on the other team saying, we just kept running the same play because they never adjusted. They never stopped it. I got to believe there's some blame to go around at every level.
Sure.
Coaching, players, everything. Do you get the feeling that they feel it really is correctable? I know they say, well, they do. And they think it.
But there's also, when I say that, they have to have that. I mean, they have to have a feeling. They have to put out that vibe. They believe it, but just because they believe it doesn't mean it's true. They got to show it.
Right.
I mean, I'm not answering your question.
Would think you would know the importance of containment going into that game. Like, what more can you stress? Put on a couple of McCaffrey game films, and you see how dangerous this guy is. I don't know how much more you could impress the point upon your players than preparing for that particular matchup.
Yeah, and the only way that they can make you and others who feel that way believe you is to do it. It's at some point they got to do it.
Are you concerned about the pass rush or lack thereof? That's it showed up big against Tennessee, but has been fairly quiet otherwise.
I guess not as much as I am the run defense, because I just always had this belief that if the run defense is getting it done, you set yourself up for
obvious passing situations.
Yeah, which is usually where it comes. And they stopped the run well against Tennessee, and they rushed the passer, and it worked. So, yes, concern because it hasn't happened, but I don't think it will happen until you stop the run better. Because if you don't stop the run better, you're not going to get the opportunities. I think more concerning and more let's see if they can solve it is the in five games, one defensive takeaway, which, again, comes from not being in passing situations. And some of it's weird because they just had a couple of fluke fumbles they didn't fall on. But for this team to win, you got to get more takeaways than this.
I mean, they basically played from behind outside of the Tennessee game. The other four games, they've been behind the entire game. And if a team wants to be about their pass rush, when are they supposed to rush the passer, given the way that the games have flowed to this point this season?
I mean, it's hard to get takeaways and sacks when you're behind.
Yeah, even in Denver, they fell behind. They were playing from behind basically the entire game. They finally took the lead late, and it was disappointing that that defensive drive happened the way it did. But against Carolina, they gave it up on the first drive.
Yeah.
You never really felt like the pass rush had an opportunity during the limited opportunities. I mean, they hit Kyle Allen five times when he dropped back to pass 33 times.
But you're right. The one game where they've played even or with the lead, they had nine sacks.
Yeah.
So, good point.
Can they get a lead against New Orleans?
Like the amount of dropbacks that Kyle Allen had compared to the amount of dropbacks that Gardner Minshew had.
Yeah.
And the fact that Minshew only got hit three times and was sacked twice, and they got Kyle Allen, they hit him five times and sacked him three times in about two-thirds the amount of opportunities. Real, if you look at it that way, the Jaguars' pass rush vastly outperformed Carolina's.
Yeah, and the question becomes, can they get a lead against New Orleans? Right? Because if they can play with the lead, it's a completely different team, and that's a league-wide thing. Defense is different when you're playing with the lead. We've only seen this team play with one for a game.
I get this question a lot, and I don't have a great answer for it. Would you like to see them take the ball early now?
Like, take the ball first?
They still defer. Yeah, they still defer.
Well, if I know that the other team's going to ram it down your throat and put up seven real quick, then yes.
Yeah.
I'd ideally not like that to happen. And then
coaches love to have that ball.
Of course they do. Because they love – what they love is they love getting back-to-back possessions if they can. You know, you get that last one of the first half, the first one of the second half. It's like you steal a possession from the other team in the balance of the game.
Yeah.
It doesn't always work out that way in the end, but that's kind of in their mind. So, yeah, I like everybody else. I'd rather have the ball coming out of the second half. Yeah. Who wouldn't?
Yeah. I wonder how different
I ask you a lot of questions about it.
How different that Denver game might have been if they hadn't deferred, right? Like, if they didn't have that first possession of the third quarter and go for 12 minutes.
Right.
You know, on that drive, how different that game might have been.
Well, the idea is maybe they would have scored an extra touchdown in the first half or something like that. I don't know.
Maybe. I doubt it. Not the way they were playing that first
half. No, I agree with you. But that's why I'd much rather have the ball coming out of halftime. But if
you make a
stop 7-0
yeah.
after the first drive, that's not a good formula either.
Yeah, your defense ought to be good enough to make a stop on the first drive of the game at some point here. Let's go, guys.
If whatever unit is on the field first drive does its job, then you feel better about it. I mean, that's the old thing.
Leonard Fournette, back-to-back over 100-yard games. Obviously not the 225. How do you think he played overall this week?
I thought in the last couple of weeks, and even in the game where everybody was on him about the negative yards, he's running hard. He's running the way that I think he has to play, which is all out, every play, head down. He's given them what he can give them, and I thought he was a good complement to the passing game the other day. If he plays like he played on Sunday, the running game will be fine as long as the passing offense keeps working.
I'll see if I can find this tweet. I think it was from Field Yates. Here we go. Most yards per carry in 2019 after first contact. A minimum of 30 carries. This is the average yards gained after first contact. Okay, number five, Christian McCaffrey getting 2.18 yards after first contact. Number four is Alexander Mattison, who's Dalvin Cook's backup in Minnesota with 2.24 yards after contact. Probably a much smaller sample size than most of these guys. Mark Ingram comes in with 2.36 yards after first contact. Duke Johnson in Houston, 2.56. Leonard Fournette is averaging 3.21 yards after first contact.
What more can you ask?
I mean, he's getting hit sooner than a lot of guys who are up there among the league leaders in rushing.
Yeah.
And he's getting the job done. He's not going down on first contact, clearly. Right. Now, you know, if you get your first contact and you break out of that and you go for a long run, well, that's going to factor right into those numbers. But why shouldn't it? Right. I mean, that's exactly what you're looking for out of him.
Now, somewhere in that might be he's not a great make-you-miss guy, so maybe he's getting hit once in a while before somebody else would. But that's nitpicking. I mean, that is a telling stat on him. The eye test tells you that he's running hard, harder than he did last year, and laying it out more, if you will. To me, it's the way he has to play to be effective, and, you know, I just think he's had a remarkable turnaround this year.
All right, let's go back to the phones. 641-1010. Michael is in Sanford. Next up on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
Doing well. What's up?
Not much. So, hey, we're talking about the pass rush getting home. I think John's dead on, and you know, you have to stop the run to have the opportunities. But one of the things I was looking at, and I want to get y'all's feedback on whether I'm off on this, right? I don't think that if Jalen was in, like, everything's different, McCaffrey gets stopped for 0 yards or anything, but in watching the games since he hasn't been there, the pass rush has been close. Like, versus Denver, they were right around Flacco a bunch of times. They got it out at the last second. Well, typically, you know, they say rush and cover. The pass rush helps the coverage helps the pass rush. You know, I feel like if Jalen had been in, he might have given them the extra, like, half second or so by taking someone away and allowing the rest of our coverage to cover the other guys better. And I think that I feel like one of the biggest issues that our pass rush lacking is that he hasn't been in there locking down his side to give time. But do you guys think I'm like over exaggerating or overstating that in his impact in regards to pass rush?
I don't know if it's easy to quantify exactly. I'm sure there have been an instance or two when that could be the case, right? It wouldn't hurt, right?
I think it would have helped them a lot against Denver.
I don't think it made any difference against Carolina. Carolina only threw for 181 yards on 30 pass attempts.
Had Jalen been in, you know, he does take away a side of the field. He allows the rest of the secondary to be in different positions. Maybe they have an interception that they didn't get off one of those errant passes because he was throwing the ball all over the place, Allen, at times, I thought. You might have gotten one more sack. I didn't think it was a game-changing element against Carolina the way I thought it was against Denver. But, I mean, he's –
and they won the Denver game.
Yeah.
So.
He's as good as any cornerback in the league when he's right, so when he's not on the field, it's going to hurt everything.
Yeah, look, no matter how we feel about the way how things are being handled on either side, everybody acknowledges they're a better football team when Jalen Ramsey is healthy and motivated to play.
I wrote somewhere this week, look, all the other stuff, just what you just said, all the other stuff aside, his absence is never a positive. There's nothing good about him not being on the field. It doesn't help when he's not on there, because there's things you can't do defensively that you can when he's in the game.
Unless you get that back right for a good playoff run.
You got to get the back right.
Tony, what's the latest?
Speaking of getting the back right, the pre-practice injury report is out. Brandon Linder, the only player not practicing today for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Oh!
Jalen Ramsey expected to practice at least limited today. Ronnie Harrison expected to be out there. T.J. Hayden, Laurente McCray, and Josh Oliver, the other players listed on the pre-practice injury report, but Linder, the only player not expected to practice, and that's the Veterans Day off that Linder's been getting on Wednesday.
Yeah, Ian Rapoport says Jalen Ramsey will likely do individual drills. So, you know, it's something, but it's not – you're not out there with the team,
right?
You know, doing the full complement of stuff. Individual drills can mean just about anything.
Yes, it can.
You know, so
I mean, they could,
but hey, it's better than
this is
than
a week,
not
like these are the kind of weeks where you need them. I mean, it's Michael Thomas coming to town and the New Orleans Saints with Teddy Bridgewater playing. I mean, the opportunity is right there for this football team. So, look, as I've said the entire time, I hope he gets back on the field and all this stuff gets worked out. He's a great player,
yeah,
and he's limited today in practice. So, we'll see what it looks like.
I'm very skeptical that we'll
too.
See him on Sunday, but you know what? I don't control that. So, hope he is lined up across from Michael Thomas. And like you said, don't need him hanging fantasy points like he did last week against the Jacksonville Jaguars when he was going crazy and ultimately leading to points for the New Orleans Saints. So let's get out there, Jalen. Individual drills is what he's likely to participate in today. But he is in the building, and he is out there in some capacity. He will appear on the injury report with his back injury today. As we mentioned, Brandon Linder getting a coach's day off this week or this Wednesday, and that means that Calais doesn't have the coach's day off today. He'll be out there. Josh Oliver expected to be on the injury report in some degree. That's the guy that's interesting to keep an eye on. Both DJ Hayden and Ronnie Harrison on there as well with the foot and the ankle respectively, and Lorente McRae with the oblique strain that kept him out last week as well. So, Johnny O, I know you're getting ready to depart for the day. What's going to be cooking over at Jaguars.com for you?
You know, I would love to find something new to write on Minshew Mania. I'm not sure I can, so I'm going to try to focus on DJ Chark in this.
Do-do-do-do-do.
You know, it's funny. My son was singing that yesterday, and I'd never really heard it.
Really?
But I'm an old man.
Where have you been?
But so are you. You're an old man, too.
I'm an old
too.
Man,
you
but I've heard, I don't watch Baby Shark, but you haven't heard the DJ Shark? Do-do-do-do-do. Really?
I have now.
Wow.
I have now.
That's stunning.
I'm catching up. Sometimes I'm not as cool as you think I am.
I don't know how cool that is, actually, but I'm aware sometimes of my surroundings. So, John, have a great day.
All right, you too, guys. Thank you.
We'll see you next Wednesday in here on Jaguars Today. There he goes, the senior writer for Jaguars.com, Mr. John Osier. All right, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, back with you in a moment with this date in football and the Roland Reich roll around the National Football League. More of your calls coming up as well at 641-1010. This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, taking a look at this date, October the 9th, through the years in NFL history. Back in 1938, the Cleveland Browns and Chicago Bears got together and played a game without a single penalty being called in that game. That's a rarity for sure. On this date in 1989, Art Shell became the first black man to coach an NFL team since Fritz Pollard did it in the 1920s when he took over for Mike Shanahan after a 1-3 start and led the LA Raiders over the New York Jets to a 14-7 win on Monday Night Football. And Shell's rookie campaign there as an interim coach, he would go 7-5, including that Monday Night Football victory. Famous birthdays for this date. He wants winners. He wants to win. Mike Singletary was born on this date 61 years ago in 1958. Middle linebacker for the Chicago Bears, where he was a second-round pick in 1981. Spent his entire 12-year career in Chicago. Made 10 Pro Bowls in those 12 seasons. 7 times a first-team All-Pro. The 1985 and 1988 Associated Press Defensive Player of the Year. The 1990 Walter Payton Man of the Year Award recipient. And a Hall of Fame inductee in 1998. Mike Singletary, 61. Today, a couple of Jaguars. One former, one present. Pete Mitchell, running mate of Tom McManus back in the day. Good guy. Pete Mitchell, 48 years old, was a fourth-round selection by the Dolphins. Never played there. And went to the Jags in 95. And was with the Jags from 95 through 98 and came back and finished his career here in 2002. He caught 191 of his 279 receptions as a Jaguar, including 11 of his 15 career touchdowns. And happy 24th birthday to the Jaguars left tackle Cam Robinson, second-round selection by the team in 2017. Cam has been able to play in 21 of 37 games since he was drafted with 20 starts in that time. Born in 1995, Cam, 24 years old. Today, happy birthday to all the aforementioned. That's what we have for you on this date in football history.
Now, let's roll around the NFL with Roland Reich Plumbing, where quality and experience count.
Carolina Panthers quarterback Cam Newton was back out at practice on the field this week, although he still isn't practicing, but his presence at least could be a sign for his return coming soon. Coach Ron Rivera said yesterday that Cam will not be traveling with the team to London this week, and the Panthers have a bye the week after, which would now be the earliest that Cam could return. The Panthers are 3-0 with Kyle Allen as the starter. Thus far in 2019, played the Tampa Bay Bucks at Tottenham's new stadium over in London on Sunday. New York Jets quarterback Sam Darnold has been cleared to play. Darnold has missed the last three games for the Jets, in which they have scored just 23 points in those three games combined that he's missed, while dropping to 0-4 now on the season. The Jets' offense has managed just 233 total yards the last 2 weeks combined against the New England Patriots and Philadelphia Eagles, with Darnold dealing with the mono, but he will be back this week. It sounds like San Francisco cornerback Richard Sherman made a big deal after the 49ers win over Cleveland on Monday Night Football about Baker Mayfield not respecting the game during the coin toss when he refused to shake hands with Sherman calling that some college bleep. Well, a video of the coin toss clearly shows Baker Mayfield shaking hands with Richard Sherman. It seems like an odd thing to just lie about. I saw Sherman on Twitter saying how funny you thought it was that everyone would make a big deal about shaking hands at the coin toss. Actually, Richard,
you're the one who did it.
You brought attention to something no one was paying attention to, and it turns out you just flat out lied about it. Pretty funny, huh? Rob Gronkowski will be joining the NFL on Fox as an analyst. So if you haven't got your Gronk fill during the 2019 NFL season, flip it over to Fox.
I guess. Look, I'm going to watch regardless of who is on the broadcast crew. So that's fine. Doesn't bother
me. It's always on while we're doing the pregame anyway. It's not like I get to see any of it.
Well, he's going to be on Thursday Night Football this week. He's on the Patriots-Giants broadcast.
I don't watch the pregame.
Is that? Well, yeah, I guess that's what he'd just be on the pregame. I don't really either.
Yeah.
You know, I'm on the air till 8 o'clock, and then I'm checking my lineups for the 50th time that week. And moving on from there. All right, 641-1010 if you want to get on board. I believe we've got Mason on the south side coming up next here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Mason.
Good morning.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, man, I just got a couple of questions. Appreciate you guys taking the call. But it's in reference to Ramsey practicing, and do you think it would be better off to just start Trey Herndon in anyway? And at what point does it seem like Ramsey's coming back just to kind of sabotage the defense? And does that seem like something that he would do?
No, I don't. I think if Jalen Ramsey wants to play a game, it's going to be I'm not able to play game, right? I don't think and who knows, Tony, maybe he thought, you know what, if he does that for a couple weeks, the Jags will cave and they'll move on. Now, let's be clear. First of all, he is – expected to participate in individual drills.
Yes.
Today at practice, which could mean practically anything. It could be an incredibly small amount of participation.
Yeah, he's not practicing today.
Right. He's not out there running with the base defense, you know, and getting ready for the New Orleans Saints. At least today, he's not. I think if Jalen says, hey, I'm healthy enough to go, I don't think Jalen is going to go out there and put bad film out there and tank purposely.
If he
or
plays,
anything like
he's going to play hard.
Right. The question is, will he play for this football team? And I think that's yet still to be determined. I have my doubts as to whether or not that's going to happen. And I do think he was trying to, you know, he says had these back issues for years and years and years, and this is the first time that they've kept him out of a game. Or maybe, you know, maybe from Jalen's point of view, he's just saying, you know, I've been willing to play through it before. I'm no longer willing to do that. I'm going to look out for number one. I don't know.
I don't know.
I can't get inside his head, but I'm not going to play. If Jalen is healthy, ready to go, I will assume he's of the right mind to go out there and play high-level NFL football or attempt to play high-level NFL football, because if he doesn't, all he's going to do is hurt himself. He's already put out there now that he has a chronic back problem. So I don't think that's necessarily going to keep a team from signing him long-term. If their doctors check him out and say, oh, we don't see anything here. I wouldn't be surprised if that's what they find, nothing. But that's the way it is with backs sometimes. So, I don't think Jalen's going to purposely try to play bad or tank his team. I think that would be one of the quickest ways to get yourself made persona non grata around the league, I would think, anyway, to purpose. I don't get the sense it'll purposely tank. Would he withhold his services by, you know, making sure that his back is 102% before he returns? Perhaps. Time will tell on that one.
Yeah, we'll find out.
I'm playing him, though, if he's ready to go.
If he's ready to go, I'm playing him, yeah. And I'm having him cover Michael Thomas. Like, that's what I'm doing. If he's good enough to play, that's what I'm having him do this Sunday against the New Orleans Saints.
I think the ego and the pride factor kicks in. He doesn't want to get embarrassed by Michael Thomas.
No.
He thinks of himself as the best in the world, so go prove it.
I've never thought any of this was about sabotaging anybody. Right, like if you don't buy into the illness or the back injury or any of that kind of stuff, I think that's all about Jalen trying to help Jalen. If he's gonna play, playing well is what helps Jalen, and anything beyond that doesn't help Jalen if he's gonna be available to play. So we'll see what his availability is. He's gonna be limited in practice today, as Ian Rappaport tweeted out. Expected to be participating in individual drills, whatever exactly that means. We'll find out tomorrow. There'll be another injury report, and then we'll see what his official status is on the injury report on Friday from the football team. At this point, if you ask me whether or not I expect him to play, my answer is still no. I don't think he's going to play against New Orleans. He's practicing limited today. That's what we know.
That's all we know at the moment. So we'll find out, Mason, along with you, as the week goes on. But no, I'm not concerned that there would be blatant on-field sabotage of the team. And I don't think it's – look, I get the question.
I get the question.
Right? I don't think that you could say that about every single player in the National Football League. I think there are probably some that are that, you know, despicable that would purposely try to tank their team's chances if they thought it wouldn't hurt them down the line. Maybe not very many. Probably not very many. I'm not going to say 100% though across the board. You'd never see that happen in professional sports. I don't think Jalen Ramsey is wired that way. If he's out there, I think he'll his competitive juices and instincts kick in. That's my take on it. We'll see. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, ET here with you. We'll come back 641-1010. The phone lines remain open to you. We'll check in on the text line as well. The poll question today on Twitter presented by Bud Light asking you which position group are you most concerned with going forward for the Jaguars for 2019? Is it offensive line, defensive line, linebacker, secondary? It is kind of crazy that most of the focus is on the defensive side of the ball after the way it's gone for the last 4 or 5 years here. Certainly wouldn't expect that to be the case 5 weeks into the season, but that is where we are. Jaguars today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
All Jags, all NFL. Jaguars today on 1010XL.
All right, there's a big piece on the front page of ESPN.com about Gardner Minshew. If you like to go check that out, Jaguar fans, after the show. Of course, your full attention is required. But it's done by Sam Borden, formerly of the Florida Times Union. Can't ever keep up with Sam, man. He's always hopping around. Where was he? At the New York Times for a while?
I think it was
at the Times, right? And he's a globetrotter, man. I've seen, you know, his bylines from the Olympics and Beijing and, you know, like the French Open, things like that. He's all over the place. But I know D-Rock's like the reporter. I would have liked to have seen D-Rock write the big piece on Minshew at ESPN.com. But anyway, it's, you know, kind of a character study and on and why he has been such a big hit in Jacksonville. I've read through a good portion of it on the breaks, of course, you know. But anyway, some interesting things in there about how he basically can't go out anymore. And this is in talking to a couple of the guys he lives with, Andrew Wingard and Michael Walker, who's on the practice squad. And they say that Minshew is the same guy that he was all summer long. You know, that there's an authenticity there. And the guys in the locker room recognize that. He's not a fake guy. You know, all the stuff that comes with it hasn't not made him into this egomaniac running amok in the locker room and thinking he's, you know, better than he is or more important than he is or anything like that. They do note that it's almost impossible for them to go out with Gardner now in public. Top Golf, they said, is out. They sneak into movie theaters in the back. There's the local restaurant, a favorite local restaurant. I'm not going to name it. They can advertise with us if they choose to. But they have promised to seat the group in the back going forward so they can actually get through a salad without being interrupted. I would imagine every restaurant in Jacksonville would make that pledge to Gardner Minshew. Hey, Gardner, you and your entourage or whoever. I don't want to, you know, entourage, not in a bad way, but you and your buddies come in. We'll seat you wherever you want. We'll put you in the kitchen if you want. if we can tell people the next day, hey, yeah, Gardner ate here. I said they used to go to Publix on Tuesdays to grocery shop. The last time they tried that, he couldn't even make it in the door. So Wingard or Walker had to give him his keys so he could go back and sit in Walker's car and hide, basically, while they did the shopping. And they said, it's no problem, however, because Gardner did a thing with Snickers. So now we've got a lifetime supply of dessert, as he put it. Plus, he drops clothes and hats wherever else and whatever else is suddenly getting sent to him on our beds for us. So he's sharing the swag that he gets. It is funny. Once you start getting a little juice, people want to give you stuff, man, because they want you to wear their stuff, whatever the case. We want Gardner Minshew to be seen in this headband, right? And he said the other day, is Andrew Wingard talking about Gardner Minshew. The other day, he got me this dope Florida Snapper beanie. It's maroon, and it's awesome. So, guys, still not spoiled by the riches of the National Football League. And Dan Hicken quoted at length in this story as well. So go check it out at ESPN.com. It's a pretty fun read. Haven't read the entirety of it. This skipping to the bottom here, he closes with Minshew telling Sam Borden he has a sense of urgency all the time because I've never had a reason not to. And that comes from the fact that it bounced around and mm-hmm. never knew where his next collegiate home was going to be, and nobody wanted to commit to him. I swore Tony then, and I still believe it now, if a team had stuck with Doug Flutie back in the day and built their offense to his strengths, he could have thrived in the National Football League. I truly believe that, even in an era. It was the mindset, right? Because there's no reason why a smaller quarterback should work today when it shouldn't have worked back then. If you were smart enough to put him in position to work to his strengths,
sure,
then he could thrive. And
my guess is the athletes are bigger
now.
They were when
right,
Flutie
they're
was
right, bigger right. now. Right. It's not like they got smaller and all of a sudden you could see over these linemen. That's always going to be an issue. Mm-hmm. You find ways. Look, when you're a smaller quarterback, you know, there are plenty of high school linemen over 6 feet tall, right? So there are plenty of guys starting even at that age that Gardner Minshew probably couldn't see over. And, you know, he had the cleats and the helmet, and all of a sudden the guy's like 6'5 out there, you know, at the top of his helmet. And you're just not going to be able to see over that. Your eye level, even if you're 6'1, your eyes aren't at the top of your head, right? So you learn to adjust, and that's what you do. And it just it's like if you lived life without a left hand, you would know how to open doors with in a different way with that, you know, that hand or whatever. You adapt, and that's what he's done, obviously. And it is funny, though. You wonder how many guys out there. Like, I really believe that about Flutie. Had he been given the opportunity, mm-hmm. he thrived in the CFL, and it's a different game. I get it. But if Gardner Minshew doesn't get a call from Mike Leach, Gardner Minshew's a guy that no one knows about. Right, he's a guy who couldn't get it done at East Carolina, who Leach saw something in and said, "Hey, you want to come lead the league in passing or lead the country in passing?" He said, "That sounds good." And so he went up there and basically did exactly that. And had he not gotten that opportunity, he would have been on Nick Saban's coaching staff. That's where he was headed, to be a graduate assistant.
Yeah.
And, you know, with his football mind and everybody raves about how smart he is, he probably would have made an excellent coach and might one day well do that if he's tired of counting his millions of dollars.
25 years
when destined
he's,
to make.
He's done playing for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Like, 25 years?
Yeah.
That's a long career. You can play longer now.
Look, I think the league is having to catch up with, in some ways, what college football has been doing, right? Where everyone's been going to this spread look, and the NFL wanted to be the quarterback under center, drop back. Like, that's what they had been forever. That's what they wanted to continue to be. And it feels like there is this transition period going on right now in the NFL where we are seeing teams that, you know, you run almost every NFL offense runs over half their offense basically out of the shotgun now. Like, that's just the reality of the NFL in today's world. And then you have to deal with the reality of, well, the guys that are playing quarterback at a high level in college are playing in spread. They're playing in air raid. Like, they're doing these things that are not NFL things to do, generally speaking. But you see a guy, and again, look, Minshew doesn't have the size of a Patrick Mahomes, obviously. But the guy comes in and basically Andy Reid says, yeah, let's just do a lot of the stuff that he was doing in college, essentially, with him when we get him on the field. You don't do the same thing with Patrick Mahomes you do with Alex Smith, and you shouldn't, right? So you bring Patrick Mahomes in, and you're like, all right, we'll do it. We'll basically run air raid, you know, out here in Kansas City. And it works the way that it works. And then you have guys that are the size of a guy like Gardner Minshew that are playing in that kind of offense. And I think the league looks at it and kind of scoffs and says, okay, whatever. Someone will take a flyer on him at some point. We'll see how it works out. Well, maybe teams will start taking a closer look at the prospect more than what they're being asked to do in college at some point, because it's pretty clear Gardner Minshew, at least in the short term, is a guy that looks like an NFL starting quarterback. I mean, that's what he looks like. And for him to have gone in the sixth round, I think there are serious questions that scouts are going to have to start asking themselves about the kind of offenses they're willing to draft quarterbacks out of at this point, given the protection that quarterbacks are given in the league on top of everything else. We talked about it with Kyler Murray coming in. I wasn't nervous. If the Jags had been in position to draft Kyler Murray, I would have been fine with it, because I don't think the size is as big a factor as it was 15 years ago. I just don't.
No, it's not. You got to have some mobility, though. And obviously, Minshew does.
Kyler
Murray does.
Too, yeah.
Right. You got to have some escape ability. And I think he is, you know, I don't think every spread quarterback can translate to the National Football League. And,
no.
You know,
but I think they were ignored basically for a long time.
Sure, they were. And because, in part, because some of them got a shot, right? I mean, like, you know, run, you go back to the run and shoot days, right, with Andre Ware and, you know, producing Heisman Trophy winners and, you know, some of the guys like Timmy Chang and Colt Brennan that put up crazy numbers in wide open passing games in college, and they just did not translate. They didn't have the physical tools. And you can look at Minshew, and I know what you're saying. He looks like a starting quarterback. He's still, though, when he throws it, he's not ever going to be Josh Allen up in Buffalo throwing it on a rope. You know, he's not that. He looks like a starting quarterback to me because he produces results and he's done it consistently, and we haven't seen him really hit that wall yet. He's had a couple of shaky first halves in his four starts that he's made, but one thing that Doug Marrone highlighted in this article at ESPN.com by Sam Borden, he had a quote in there talking about how, you know, you don't understand how difficult it was for him to do what he did in week one because the entire game plan is built around Nick Foles and what Nick Foles likes and is comfortable with and what he does best. And Gardner Minshew has to come in there, and they're not changing the whole game plan. You can't change it in mid-swing. These are the plays you prepared. This is what you put in the install for that week. And he goes in there, and he just adapts and, you know, makes it work for him, you know. And but it was something that was not specifically designed for him. And Doug Marrone's point is you just don't realize how difficult that is to do and to excel at that level, to be a totally different kind of quarterback and be able to go in. It's one thing if your backup is a very similar guy and the game plan suits both of you. I would think they, you know, now they're putting in more things that Gardner Minshew's comfortable with, obviously. And, you know, if Foles ever makes it back, that'll be an interesting discussion at that point in time. But here's somebody tweeting me or texting us a picture. He said his son's girlfriend was a waitress at Olive Garden and sending in a picture of the young lady with Gardner Minshew. And so Olive Garden, stake it out, Jaguar fans. Now you know. There's one. That wasn't the restaurant quoted in the article. Olive Gardens are everywhere, though. So
they are.
I wish there was one in St. Augustine, though. Can you get that done, Olive Garden? It's not that much to ask. Yes, I'm that guy.
Just
I know people are
build
like,
a restaurant.
If you want good Italian food, you wouldn't go to Olive Garden. I love Olive Garden, so I don't care what you consider to be good Italian food. I love Olive Garden's food. So please move into St. Augustine, something convenient for me. That would be nice because I don't like to have to drive all the way up to the Avenues Mall area or thereabouts. All right, here we go. Coming back with Dr. Stephen Lucy from JOI. We'll have a look at this week's injury report. What does it mean that Jalen is getting in some limited individual drills today at practice for the Jacksonville Jaguars? Talk about that. And more coming your way if you want to get on board. Still time for that at 641-1010. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, you're listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Everything you need to know about the Jags, Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
I'm sorry, are we back? I just was voting for Gardner Minshew for Player of the Week.
Oh.
Once again, it says thank you for voting. I'll keep clicking it.
Such a polite website.
It really is. Thank you for voting. 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 Is this okay? This is what I'm doing. He's won it 3 out of 4 weeks. Or what is it? Is it 4 out of 5 weeks that he's won it now?
I think it would be 4 out of 5 if he won this week.
Crazy, right? I think he did. Yeah. No.
No, he didn't win against Houston.
Well,
did he?
Why are there only 4 weekly winners on here?
I don't know.
Oh, because we're still voting on week 5. Duh.
Yeah.
He's won 3 out of 4 previous weeks.
He didn't win against Houston.
Right. That was Chase Winovich of the Patriots, just to prove it's not rigged. Right. Just to prove it, that the algorithm is just not spitting out Gardner Minshew. You can go vote at NFL.com. Minshew, if you just look at the raw numbers and you don't factor in the fumbles, 374 yards passing with a couple of TDs. Kyler Murray had 253 and a touchdown. Okay. Josh Jacobs, 143 yards and a couple scores. That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Burns, we won't talk about what he did this week. And Nick Bosa planted his flag with a pair of sacks on Monday Night Football. So that just caused me to vote for Gardner Minshew one more time right there. All right. Let's say hello to Dr. Stephen Lucy from Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, JOI, the official sports medicine providers of your Jacksonville Jaguars. Doc, what's going on?
Not a whole lot. Good to be back.
Tony, what was the report from Doug Marrone? What was the quote? It's a day-to-day
thing. It was day-to-day. They're working on it. I think we
Step by step.
Yeah, we should have the sound before we get done. We'll let you hear what Marrone
said. Doug Marrone said they're taking it, when asked this morning at his press conference, they're taking it step by step with quarterback Jalen Ramsey Doc. Guess we'll have to wait and see on that one. Obviously, whatever specialist he saw for his back didn't tell him to shut it down for the year.
Well, you know, as we talked last week, this is a real complex moving situation, but I know Jalen has a good rapport with the medical staff, and I think they wanted to get a fresh set of eyes on him. He went out to Houston. Typically with a second opinion like that, the doctor's going to look at him, examine him, look at the imaging studies, and make some general recommendations. Some usually it's just keep on doing what you're doing. Sometimes it's you ought to try this or the other thing. And it sounds like the medical staff has taken this significant seriously. You know, he's in treatment. I'm sure he's getting some rehab. He's getting some stretching, massage, probably some chiropractic care. And that, you know, they're doing what they can to get him back on the field. So we'll see.
All right. So the Jags lose James O'Shaughnessy to torn ACL. You told us probably surgery next week for him, right? And then once they get in there, they really don't know the extent of the damage until they're inside the knee. Is that correct?
Well, you know, you don't know the full extent. The MRIs can give you some indication. And as we've said in the past, the results of a straight ACL are pretty predictable. Those players usually can get back, function at a high level. But every now and then you'll see somebody who has cartilage damage, who has meniscus tears. In the case of Marquise Lee, had additional ligament damage. Those are a little more predictable. They take a little longer, and sometimes they don't get back as well as we'd like.
Good to see Gardner Minshew is not on the injury report in any capacity, right? You know, you saw him limping around the building a little bit last week, but he seemed to play with no ill effect from that.
Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised at that because watching him at the practice in that brace, still limping around Wednesday. But, boy, I was watching for that during the game, and he seemed to move good. We still have to be a little concerned that that could rear its head again if he takes the wrong hit. But he certainly performed remarkably well considering the way he was on Wednesday before the game.
Any sense as to when Josh Oliver will be ready for his regular season debut?
You know, I think we're getting close. But, boy, it's been 7 or 8 weeks. And we grade these hamstrings as first degree, second degree, third degrees. And you got to assume that a third degree – this must be a third degree, as it had must have had some significant tears. Sometimes they actually tear off the bone up where you sit. Those require surgery. But the more significant tears where it really tears some of the muscle fibers, you have a defect in the muscle, you have weakness, and it just takes a long time. But every indication is that we will see him this year. I think he's going to try to do some stuff this week, but obviously if they brought in a new tight end, I'm not sure they're counting on him this weekend.
All right, Dr. Stephen Lucy, Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, your official sports medicine providers for the Jacksonville Jaguars. How's the wing feel this week for you?
Getting better all the time. I got about another week or two in this
sling. You'll be out of that sling.
It'll be all good.
How long does it take you to get that shirt on with that sling situation?
You know, I'm getting to where I can do it by myself, but I had to endure a lot of abuse from my wife when she was having to help.
Yeah, I broke my arm in college, man. It was a pain in the butt to do anything. I had my left arm in a sling like yours for a good long while, but a long time ago. All right, Doc, we appreciate the insight. Talk to you next Wednesday.
All right. See you next
week. Healthy. Dr. Stephen Lucy with JOI. Here's a couple of quick ones before we get to the phones here. Anthony and Wayne hanging on there. We'll get to you momentarily. Doug Marrone asked what the specialist told Jalen Ramsey.
Just confirm, you know, what our doctors have said. And, you know, today we expect them, you know, to be outside. And, you know, we're going to try to do a little bit more and just keep testing it and pushing it. He's working, you know, extremely hard to get back. And, you know, everyone's doing everything they can. So, you know, you guys will see him out there today, and we'll just take it day by day.
What is it that their doctors have said exactly?
We don't know.
So they confirmed what our doctors have said. I'm not sure that gives me any clarity on the situation. But regardless, here's the step-by-step quote that we were mentioning from Doug Marrone.
I think we're just going to take it step by step. I think this way, you know, go out there and, you know, we'll stretch in here and see how that goes. If that goes well, then we'll go outside and, you know, we'll warm up, we'll stretch. And if that goes well, we'll go to the next. So I think we'll just take it, you know, just step by step.
All right, that's where we're at. That's the latest from Doug Marrone. You'll hear more throughout the course of the afternoon here on 1010XL. And Hayes Carlin, I'm sure, down at the presser, you'll hear more from him directly this afternoon on the Frangie Show as well. All right, let's go to these phone calls here. Anthony's up in Long Island, and it sounds like he won't be up in Long Island this weekend. Hi, Anthony.
What's going on, guys? Yeah, I'm excited. I've never been to Jacksonville. I'm a big fan. Been a fan for 24 years now. And you know what? I'm doing a one-day trip. 7 o'clock flight. Get there at 10:30. And I'm leaving at 7:30.
Hey, that's awesome, man. So seriously, what prompted you to become a Jaguar fan 24 years ago?
You know what? It's actually funny. My mom is a Jets fan. I got Jets season tickets. My dad's a Giants fan. And in Madden, the Jaguars are the only team alphabetically in the middle of those teams. So I didn't want to pick, and I picked the Jaguars.
That is kind of a weird way to go about it. But
yeah, it's been suffering ever since. So.
We'll take it, man. So what are your plans? What are your plans for game day?
A halfback sweep with Brent Taylor. My plans? I'm going to, you know, crash a tailgate, get hammered, fly home.
Beauty. I think that's an excellent plan. Are you on Twitter, Anthony?
Of course.
All right. Okay. You well, if you want, you throw out your Twitter handle, and we'll I tell you what, do it this way. Give it to Emmanuel. That way, I don't fail to write it down properly. Hang on the line. Give it to Emmanuel. We'll tweet out your Twitter handle and ask people to give advice for what you should do. What's the best way to approach crashing a tailgate? I bet you get invited to several. That way, and just check your Twitter feed, and hopefully we'll bring friends and family together that way.
That's awesome. I'd love to get part of the Jacksonville crew down there. Awesome.
Well, we appreciate you being part of the Jacksonville family wherever you are, man, and good for you for making the day trip. I hope his day trip goes better than my day trip to Seattle a few years ago when Mike Sims-Walker got suspended for partying the night before and the Jags scored 0 points.
Yeah.
And I flew to Seattle that morning, flew back that night.
Yeah,
I hope it's better for you, Anthony, than that. So Anthony will get with the ET. I'll tweet that out after the show. And let's see, BCB, hook the man up at the slab, right?
I mean, they're always welcome.
Right. Yeah. So, but he doesn't know where he doesn't know any of that. So
sure.
He needs to get in touch with the right people, Doom and your cohorts out there. Take good care of Anthony from Long Island as he makes his first ever trip to Jacksonville, and you're going to take in a Jags game for the first time.
Because they're alphabetically between the Giants and Jets. How about that?
How about that, right?
You know, whatever works,
right?
Man.
Not the end part, not the New York part, the J and the G, and just slam them in
the
there.
The only team between. Okay.
And it worked for him. It was neutral territory, Tony, and good for Anthony for sticking with him all those years. All right, let's go out to Dallas and hear from Wayne next up in As Jaguar Nation Knows No Bounds. Hi, Wayne.
Tony, Mike, what's going on, man?
What's up? How are you?
Hey, I wanted to shout out. Somebody told me they wanted me to shout out the Jaguars group on Facebook. Can I do that?
Sure.
Okay. There's a group called Go Jags on Facebook with a lot of diehard Jaguar fans. If you want to voice your opinion or whatever the case may be, go join that group on Facebook, man. It's a fun group. It's positive.
You know what? Anyway. I appreciate you just being nice enough to ask. So, absolutely. If it's Jaguar group. We're in support, man. No doubt.
I'm real. Yeah, it's Jaguars all day on Go Jags on Facebook, man.
Sounds good.
Jaguars all day. Anyways, Minshew is playing on a rookie of the year type of level. I love the way what he's doing right now. Chark is definitely our number one receiver. And Leonard Fournette is doing awesome, man. I mean, a lot of confidence on that offense side of the ball. The defense, man, is where I think that it's kind of as far as we're not doing too good. I mean, miscues. I mean, missed tackles. I mean, we just got to get that sense of urgency back like we had when we played Tennessee when the whole team was together. And I think that if they do that every game, especially versus the Saints here coming up, I think that will be that AFC South team, number one team to beat, man. So I think we just got to get a sense of urgency back.
I don't know if it's that simple. Wayne, thank you for the call. I don't know if it's that simple. Get a sense of urgency back. They seem to play better assignment football this week.
Yeah.
Be more disciplined. You know, if you don't give seven, the offense gave seven away, right? And then obviously the kicking game failed Carolina as well. But don't fall in a hole. Let the team stick with Leonard Fournette. The ground game has been really good for 2 weeks in a row. Let Minshew work his magic, but do it from the lead so we can get those pass rushers proverbial ears pinned back, Tony, and go to work.
Yeah, play okay against the run and protect the football, and I think you're fine against New Orleans. At least you're going to give yourself a chance against New Orleans.
What about when they do that end of season video? You know how they always do, like NFL Films does,
yeah,
a season of effort or whatever that crazy name they give it. How about Minshews and Miscues right there, right? It'd be like the offense and the defense.
Let's get rid of the miscues.
That's where we are through 5 weeks. Your Jaguars Today question of the day presented by Bud Light. Which position group are you most concerned about for the rest of 2019? We'll give you the results here momentarily as we welcome in XL Primetime.
Now, the two-minute drill, delivered by Moe's Southwest Grill.
Welcome to Moe's!
Did someone say game day? Here at Moe's, we've got your back so you don't have to miss a single play. Order your tailgate catering online at moescateringfl.com.
All right, Hacker, what is the capital of Hacker Nation?
The capital of Hacker Nation?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's curious. I mean, Hacker Nation's been well-established now for going on 15 plus years. So what is the capital of Hacker Nation?
That's a really interesting question. I've never given it a lot of thought. Maybe the Mandarin area where I reside my hat now might be the capital. The Jack's Beach area has been a big part of my life as well. So I think those would be the leading candidates.
All right,
now.
I'm going to go with Mandarin over Jack's Beach.
Mandarin. Yeah.
I think I know you've had your days of partying out at the beaches, but you know, you're a family man, settled down now.
Oh, I have completely settled down in the Mandarin area. Like to watch the evening news and go to bed at around 8:30, 9 o'clock.
You are lame.
It's bad, man. It's
bad, bro.
I was telling the boys earlier.
8 o'clock.
And Tony will appreciate this. I went to see the Joker, right, at our old place of employment there on Phillips Highway.
It's just Joker.
Or just Joker. I haven't been to the movies in so long. I didn't realize when you go there, you have to look at this diagram and pick out like the row.
Look, I'm going to defend you here. Beef comes in this morning and he goes, "You believe Hacker?" He comes in and he says, "What is this with picking your where you're going to sit at the movie theater?" I'm like, bro, go to St. Augustine. I haven't picked we walk in and sit wherever we want.
It's okay,
like Southwest
good.
Airlines down there, baby.
Well, I feel better then because
it's
I was
on its
shocked.
Way. It's on its
you
way.
Had to
like
pick,
it's I had
not an there. Epic theater. It's not.
I think I picked H11, so I had to go find H and
for
then
Hacker.
I had to go to 11. Yeah, I guess for Hacker. And that was just odd to me. It was a new occurrence there.
Hacker Green has 11 letters. If you say it that way.
It does. I like that.
Now that we've talked all about the important stuff, what's coming up on the show today?
Well, obviously, you know, New Orleans and Jacksonville. Just an interesting side note. Not sure if you guys have mentioned that this week or not, but yeah, that River City relay that scored in the New Orleans-Jacksonville game, all the laterals, and then John Carney missing the extra point.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about this a little yesterday. Now, they don't play but every 4 years, so that has to be taken into consideration. That's the last time the Jaguars beat the Saints.
Bro, you love this kind of stuff.
I do, man.
I just don't understand why it has any bearing on a bunch of guys who never don't play in the league anymore what they did against the other guys that didn't play in the league
has
anymore.
Absolutely no bearing. I just thought it's interesting that it has been 16 years.
Right, but they, like you said, they don't play that often.
They don't.
So it's like a three-game losing streak.
The Saints have
like
won
that.
Three in a row, 7, 11, and 15. So, but yeah, I just thought, you know, the River City Relay, people remember that play, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Carney missing the extra point. So the Jaguars looking to get their first win. So we'll obviously talk about that. And then we're going to talk a lot of Florida LSU. In fact, Jacob Hester, who was a fullback on the LSU team, he was on the team that Les Miles went forward on 5 fourth downs.
Yes, he was.
In 2007.
He converted like 4 of them himself.
He converted 3 of them and scored the game-winning touchdown. He's going to join us at 12:30 to talk about the LSU side of this LSU-Florida matchup.
Played for whom in the pros?
San Diego and Denver?
Did he? I know he came in with the Chargers.
I think last year was in Denver. I think the Chargers and the Broncos were where Hester was. Had a 5 or 6 year NFL career after his days at LSU.
He did. Never made a dent in my fantasy lineup, though. You're always thinking, oh, maybe we'll get a goal line back out of this guy, something like that. But wasn't to be the case. The Nation of Hacker, the capital resides in Mandarin. That's where we're at right now. Hacker, have a great show today.
Thanks, guys.
All right, along with Joe C., Matt Hayes, and Big Leon Searcy, I'm like, Hack, I'm going to sit at wherever I damn well please at the movie theater, Hacker. That's what I'm going to do, buddy. All right, Tony, our poll question today, presented by Bud Light, which position group are you most concerned about for the rest of 2019? Not surprised, maybe a little surprised at the margin that linebackers got the most votes here, 64% most concerned, and a little recency bias kicking in, but that's not unreasonable anyway.
No.
I mean, we knew it was an area to watch coming into the season. Offensive line got 25% of the vote, and then just a smattering for the secondary, 7%, and 4% with the defensive line. They've got their own issues on the defensive line. They're culpable in this run defense as well, but I think people look at it and say, well, what am I more worried about? I'm more worried about a group that has Miles Jack as its one, quote, name guy, as opposed to a group that has Calais and Jan and Josh Allen and others up front.
Certainly, yeah. And it's understandable to feel that way about it. Right. I voted linebackers. Yeah.
I did not vote. Doesn't allow you to vote on your own Twitter poll, but I would have voted for linebackers as well in solidarity with the rest of Jaguar Nation. Over 500 votes there. If you haven't voted, head over to my Twitter feed at MD_1010XL. I will be blasting it out. We had Anthony from Long Island making his first trip down, so ET's going to hook me up with his Twitter handle. I'll blast that out, and hopefully some of you kind Jaguar folk out there can give him advice on how to best experience his one day in Jacksonville, flying out of Long Island around 7 in the morning, he said, flying back that night, coming in for a day trip. So tell him how to get the full boat Duval experience, and he would appreciate that, I'm sure. That's going to do it for us today, for Tony Smith, for ET, for Johnny O, and for all of you out there in Radio Land. We appreciate all of you. Tomorrow, D-Rock will be in providing delicious breakfast, I'm
sure. Oh, did he lose again?
By a smidge. And here's how honest I was about it. ET ran the scores. I double-checked them, and he had underscored DeRocco's squad, and he got, like, he had four more points coming his way than ET had him down for, and he ended up losing by, what, like a point and a half to me?
Yeah, about a
like
point
that?
And a half. That's integrity, Mike. I like
yeah,
that.
I had a bad week. Had it been six, don't know how that would have went, but, you know, it wasn't six, so it was only four. All right, that's tomorrow on the program. Until then, enjoy the day and stick around for XL Primetime next on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Yo, Jacksonville, let's go Duval!